Welcome to our podcast this Friday evening. Lord bless you for being here with us. As always, I hope we have some things that are going to touch your life, change your life, bring revelation to your life, because that's really why we're doing this. And so again, I've got my son Benji on this side. I've got my other son Nat on this side, and we're ready to talk about some of the things that God is doing in our lives, what he's doing in this church, what he's doing in this people, and what I hope that so gets into your spirit that he begins to do in your life as well. So just again, let me just start off by letting you know that God's doing mighty things here. We believe in the supernatural. And sometimes you'll hear me say, we believe in pursuing the supernatural at all costs. And when I say that, what I mean is we can't let the good get in the way of the supernatural. Because believe it or not, the enemy wants us pursuing the good. He doesn't want us pursuing the supernatural. When you pursue God, you're pursuing the supernatural. When you pursue God, you're going after that which is not of this world. That's what our lives are about. That's what this ministry is about. That's what we want your life to be about, pursuing the supernatural. And so I know they've written down three or four questions that are things we get asked about that people are interested in. And so Nat, hit us up with the first thing that we're going to talk about, and we'll see what God has to say about it.
All right. Let's see. Sometimes we hear you say that you are not political and you don't talk about politics.
It's true.
Why is that?
Okay.
There are a lot of things that go into this.
Yeah. Let me just kind of just start talking and hopefully something good will come out. excuse me. I am not a political person. That doesn't mean that I don't occasionally have a political view. I'm a person. Things come, you know, I see things and have opinions about it just like anyone else does. But as far as ministry is concerned, as far as this church is concerned, as far as preaching is concerned, as far as how we do things, how we minister, who we bring up to talk and things like that, it has nothing to do with politics. And here's the reason why. The church has got to be in a place where it can speak to everybody. The church has got to be, and even more so, the prophetic church, which again, I talk about who we are here at the City on the Hill and this heritage being a prophetic heritage. I talk about it all the time. But even more so, the prophetic people of God, they've got to be in a position to be able to speak the word of God, to be able to point the finger at everybody. When church gets into bed with politics, all of a sudden you're beholden to politics. All of a sudden you're one with the political arena.
It becomes the focus. The politics
becomes
right. The focus.
The church is not politics. The church is the word of God. The word of God is above politics. There is no matter how good a law might seem, there is no law that can replace the word of God. There is no amendment. There is no statute. There is nothing of that nature that can replace the word of God. And you know, I've talked about this many, many times. To me, and I know this is one of those things that's really going to shake people, but I know it to be true. To me, when the church gets involved with marches and political groups and political committees and action groups and all these things involving anything all you're doing is ceding your power to the government. You're not speaking the powerful word of God into government. The picture of what we want to be Elijah speaking to the king. We want to be Nathan, who is the one who went to King. Even King David was a man after God's own heart. But Nathan still was the one that had to go and point the finger and had to say, David, you're the man. Mm-hmm. You're the man. Christians should not be pushing, again, this is going to shock people, Christians should not be pushing to try to get laws passed to do away with things like abortion. Mm-hmm. And I know people are like, yes. What Christians should be doing is be so close to God that they stand on the mountain and they put their finger out and they say, abortions are bringing a curse upon the land. Abortions are bringing a curse upon people's lives. Abortion is killing and murdering babies, and God will not stand for it. Hear the word of the Lord. Doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter.
It's what God said.
It's what God says. And if the church was who it needed and should be, when they spoke the word of God, those words would carry so much power that people would either bow on their knees to the word of God, or they would go in sin and they would reap the consequences of it. That's what the church should be doing. But because going back, you know, going back, there's a little bit of a history lesson now. But going back into the 70s and the 80s with the political group started, because, again, people might not like to hear this, but there were ministers and denominations, and there were groups of religious Christians that had no power. They were well known, they were big, but they had no power. And because they had no spiritual, supernatural power, they said, well, what can we do? Well, we can become political, and we can begin to vote in people that are going to pass laws that look like something that God would want. And that grew from the 70s and 80s into what we have right now, whereas most of the church, their entire ministry is given to politics. And that's not what the church is for. The church is to speak the word of God. The church is to defeat the works of darkness. The church is to stand in the place of someone like an Elijah or a Nathan or an Isaiah. Should stand in the place of those great famous biblical prophets and ministers, and should be able to speak into politics, not on behalf of politics, not on behalf of a political group, but they should speak into politics, and they should say, you're not following the word of God. And I'm telling people, there is no perfect politics. There is nothing perfect about it. There never will be. You will never vote in the right person. Never. Now, we know that God raises up and sits down leaders. We know that. We believe that. We believe that when the Bible says, you know, pray for those that are in government, we believe we should pray. Absolutely. But there's a difference between praying and saying, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, help them to do what your will is. There's a difference between that and in getting in bed with politics. As long as the church is a political group, they can't be a prophetic group. And I'm telling you, you want the church to be a prophetic group, because we know that until the spirit of Elijah fills this earth, we know that the Lord can't come back. We know that. And so, trust me when I tell you, you need the church to be a prophetic group, not a political group.
If your church bases what they do on the political, then everything that happens to the church and surrounds the church is going to be based on the political. If you do things by the prophetic, the things that happen and surround the church are going to be prophetic, which means more miracles, more testimonies, and things of that nature.
Well, I know that for so many people, what I just said, even if it touches your heart, I know it's going to take I don't like this term necessarily. It kind of has become one of those fad terms in the church, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's going to take a paradigm shift. It's going to take a paradigm shift to get to say, you know what? As long as I'm thinking, how can we vote the right people in instead of how can we usher in the presence of the Lord, then you're going to be limited to the natural realm. You're going to be limited to who you could vote on. This guy's not limited by that. I'm going to be unlimited. That's the way I want to live my life. That's the way my family wants to live. That's the way the city on the hill is going to live. And I believe, because this is about calling the remnant, I believe that's who the remnant is going to be.
Yes.
You want to talk about Elijah's remnant of 7,000? Go read about Elijah's remnant. I believe Elijah's remnant today, even if it's not many, they're not going to be a political people. They're going to speak into politics. And the presidents and the kings and the queens and the leaders and the representatives and the senators and the governors and whoever, prime ministers, whoever else it is, they're going to bow to the word of God. Either willingly or unwillingly, they're going to bow to the word of God. But God's looking. He's looking for people that are going to do that. And I want to encourage you. This heritage that has a long 165-year history of standing against those that would want to do it the other way. And when I say standing against, I mean standing against because we believe the enemy is pushing the other way. And so if you want to be a part of a group of people that are going after the prophetic, you need to come see us here. Come see us here because we're going to do it. And God, you know, the remnant of God might not be many, but the remnant of God is going to be the most powerful on this earth. So praise the Lord. I think we answered that question at least partially. You have anything else about that? You good?
I think you covered everything.
Praise the Lord. All right, Nat, give us a second question. Okay. Excuse me.
Almost every time you preach, you mention our inheritance.
Uh-oh. Any question that starts with almost any time you preach is a loaded question. Yep. So go ahead.
Almost every time you preach, you mention our inheritance. What are those things specifically?
Well,
talk about a loaded question.
Yeah, this is easy for me. This is easy because
it brings us joy to talk about this.
It does. Now, go ahead and turn. Open up here to Deuteronomy chapter 28 for me. Hold it.
I already highlighted for you in green. Must be important.
Well, because I preach from it a lot.
Yep.
Just start to read a little bit from Deuteronomy 28.
All right. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen. Keep going.
All right. Blessed shall you be in the city.
Wow.
And blessed shall you be in the country.
Wow.
Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds.
Wow.
The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks.
What doesn't all that cover?
Keep going. Keep going.
Here we go. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face.
Praise God. Keep going.
They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
That's enough from there. It goes on. Now go to Psalm 103. Turn to Psalm 103, and I want you to read that for everyone here today. And I'm just picking out a couple of things that I talk about all the time. But go ahead and read 103rd Psalm.
All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time for me.
Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases.
I keep going.
Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Guys, you want to know what the inheritance is? Well, that's a good start right there, what we just read. You said, but Pastor, that's Old Testament. But the Word of God says in Hebrews, now listen to what I'm about to say. The Word of God says in Hebrews that Christ is a mediator of a better covenant with better promises. And so the only way that you can understand that biblically is that everything that they got in the Old Testament, we get that through Christ and even more. And even more, because we have a better covenant. Christ has mediated a better covenant for us with better promises. With better promises. And so I want you to understand that when the Word of God says, I heal all your diseases, that is for you through the blood of Jesus Christ.
How could it be better if it didn't at least include
absolutely
the stuff we just
you
read?
See, that's your inheritance. When the Bible says, I'm going to bless the fruit of your womb, you see, we don't believe. Clearly, Nat and Paris are about to have their fourth child. Benji and Faith are about to have their second child.
We believe in that.
And we don't believe in infertility here at the City on the Hill. That's right. We don't believe in that. God's power is too great for infertility. Come see us if you need help in that.
Don't gloss over the part where it says renewing your youth like the eagles. We got so much youthfulness going on at the City on the Hill.
So much. Let me just tell you. When it says he's going to bless the animals in your field, he's going to bless your kneading bowl and all that, my wife is sitting over there. Honey, you know, go get the kneading bowl ready because it's about to overflow. You know, whatever it is in your life.
You know, verse 6 here, it says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You know, we're talking about politics. I mean, people want to vote in all the right people and pass all the laws, but justice and righteousness is right here, a promise for us.
That's exactly a part of our inheritance. Isn't that awesome to think about? Isn't that awesome to consider? I'm telling you, I know we're being kind of glib with it, but it's right there in the Word of God. It's right there. That is your inheritance. The Bible says, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It says in Romans, it says we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? That literally means that everything he got, we get. If you're a joint heir with somebody, that means everything they get, you get. That means when the inheritance is doled out, that you say, well, you're joint heirs. You get equal. You get equal. You see, we are not equal to Christ when it comes to position. He's the one that gets to sit at the right hand of God the Father. But we're equal to him when it comes to the inheritance. Isn't that awesome to think about? That everything he inherited, we inherit. So when the Word of God has all these things in the Old Testament, all those things were given to Christ, and then guess who gets them? When we believe and we enter into that same covenant, we get it. We're joint heirs with Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. Everything God promised Abraham, we get.
You got to understand, this is the way that God has always wanted it.
Always.
And this is what God is always searching for. As it says in, I believe, 2 Chronicles, where the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking for hearts who are loyal to him. He wants to bless those who are loyal to him with everything that we just read about.
Well, again, we're kind of getting off on something different, but when you use the word loyalty, that's a covenant word. That's a covenant word. I wrote a book several years ago about the blood covenant. That's a covenant word that stresses the fact that when God finds loyal covenant partners, he's willing to do anything to make sure that they're blessed, taken care of. And that kind of takes it to the next thing. You say, what's our inheritance? Well, your inheritance is your health. Your inheritance is your finances. Your inheritance is your peace around your life and your mind. Your inheritance is deliverance. Your inheritance is he redeems your life from destruction. Where does that destruction come from? We cause it. But God is so good, he says, I'm even going to buy back what you sold, what you gave away, what you destroyed. I'm going to buy it back. But that's what redeeming means. So when we read Deuteronomy 28 and it says your enemy is going to come in one way and flee seven ways, that's your inheritance. When the Bible says that you're the head and not the tail, that's your inheritance. When the Bible says, when it says he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, that's your inheritance. Through the blood of Jesus, that's your inheritance. So when I get up and I speak about your inheritance, that's your inheritance. And this kind of goes back to what I spoke on this last Sunday. You can find it on one of our platforms. But I talked about righteousness, the difference between righteousness and holiness. That was this Sunday. Was it this Sunday or last Sunday? It's one of the last couple of weeks. I don't know. But when you talk about righteousness and holiness, righteousness get you to the place that you can enter into the covenant of God. Holiness, when you walk in holiness, that brings all the blessing of the covenant into your life.
Yes.
And that's the difference. Righteousness, you can't do. You needed Jesus to do that for you. Holiness, though, you're commanded to do, because God said in both the Old and the New Testament, he said, be holy for I am holy. Righteousness puts you through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Holiness takes you out into the field and says, hey, this is all yours. But God is looking, as Benji said, for loyal hearts. Loyal hearts. And I don't have time today to get into what it means to be loyal. But, you know, listen, I just think about it. You're not loyal to God. This people always say, I say this all the time, but it's a great example. You're not loyal to God by sitting in the hot tub singing praise songs, holding a beer in your hand. That's not being loyal to God. Being loyal to God is finding where his prophetic people are and saying, God, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. And so, I don't have time to get into that today, but I hope that touches your heart, because there's an inheritance that God is waiting for you to walk in. It's yours. It's yours. You need to sit there right now and say, it's mine. It is your inheritance. If you are saved, it is yours. It is rightfully yours. But the Apostle Paul put it this way, and I'll say this before we close. This is the way the Apostle Paul put it. The Apostle Paul said, he says, you know, it's kind of like you're a child, that you are the heir of the entire estate. You're a child. He said, but when you're a child and you're an heir, you don't get to enjoy it. He said, And I hope you understand what I mean by this.
You got to grow up.
He said, you're no better than the slaves. He said, who get nothing. He said, you're no better than the slaves. And I know people don't like that kind of talk today, but that's in the Bible. He said, you're no better than the slaves when you're a child. He said, but if you grow up, then you get to not just claim the inheritance, you get to walk in the inheritance. You get to use the inheritance. You can't say, well, God never healed my body. God never blessed me financially. God, no. God has promised it, but you got to grow in the things of the Lord. And you got to find that place, that anointed place, the anointed place. Again, that's what this Heritage has been ministering for 165 years. Before I turn it over to Benji to give you all the our times and services, I want to encourage you, come see us, because we want to help you walk in your inheritance. We want to help you walk in the power of God, and we want to help you walk in the supernatural. Benji, give them all the times.
All right. We got our regular Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. services here at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville in person. Also online on our social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram as well. We got things going on every day of the week as usual. Remnant 101 with me on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Devotions on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Calling the Remnant podcast on Friday at 8 p.m. Find those on all of our social media platforms. Find our podcast also on Spotify, other podcast places. Tell Siri or Alexa to play latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And we're also making our way, as we talk about a lot during our services, and we started serious preparation for the Sacred Assembly on September, is it the 8th?
Yes,
September
correct.
8th, our Sacred Assembly. If you want more information about that, please join us for one of our services. I'm sure we're going to be talking about the preparation that we're making for that. Anything else?
That's it. Praise God. I hope you come and visit us. Spread the word about what God is doing. We love you. We'll see you next week.